Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm over here, in case you can't see me. I could stand up here a little bit, but I might fall in, so that would be not a good start to the proceedings. Welcome to Cottenham Baptist Church. Welcome today to those who are visiting, who've come for this exciting service to celebrate with Lydia, Emma and Sean. Later on in the service, we will be going into the baptistry, and you may gather round to watch, or if you feel you don't want to gather but you want to stay where you are, that bit will be on the screen, so you can see just from sitting where you are. We all have preference, don't we, for one thing or another. We all choose which we would prefer, whether it be to walk or to cycle, whether it be to be outside or indoors. We all have a preference. But sometimes these preferences become more than that. Sometimes they become priorities, things which we put above everything else in our lives, things which become of the utmost importance, things which are at the centre of all that we do. For some of us, that is a sport or a hobby. For others, it becomes a choice between a work or family. But for many of us, it is a choice we have to make, to prioritise something over other things. And this causes us to sacrifice other things. In the Bible, Jesus often challenges people about their priorities. Not maybe whether they prefer chocolate or crisps or, you know, brunch or church, but about whether they prioritise him in their lives. There's a story in the Bible of when Jesus is travelling around with his disciples and he comes across two people who feel they have the right priorities. The Bible recounts it like this. It's in the book of Matthew and it says this: when Jesus saw that a curious crowd was growing by the minute, he told his disciples to get him out of there to the other side of the lake. As they left, a religious scholar asked if he could come along. "I'll go wherever you want me to go," he said to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Really? Are you ready to rough it? We're not staying in the best inns, you know." Another follower said, "Master, excuse me for a couple of days, please. I just need to go and arrange my father's funeral." And Jesus refused. "First things first, your business is life, not death. Follow me, pursue life." Jesus challenged these two people to put him first, to make him a priority in their lives. In this case, above family and above comfort. And later on in the Bible, Jesus says, "Anyone who intends to come with me will have to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat, I am. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is my way. My way to finding your true self." In other words, Jesus calls those who want to follow him to not only make him a priority, but to allow him to change their lives. For those Jesus encountered, it was a choice he regularly placed before them. For Lydia, Emma and Sean, it is a choice that they have made to prioritise Jesus. And for us too, it is a choice we are called to make. Some refer to it as choosing God rather than the world. Others refer to it as choosing the cross rather than the crowd. You know, down the years, not only has Christianity been seen as a choice, it's also been seen as a very prescriptive way of life. Many believe that once you follow Jesus, you enter a life of do's and don'ts. You must do this. You can't do that. You need to live this way. You shouldn't really indulge in that. For many, Christianity is seen as restrictive and a bit of a killjoy life. But interestingly, this is not what Jesus said that it was. And this is not how Jesus lived his life when he was on earth. Instead, he says this: "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. These are the words of Jesus. And as Lydia, Emma and Sharm will tell you later on, following God, putting him first, making Jesus a priority, is not about getting things right. Thank goodness for that. It's not about restricting our lives, and it's not about do's and don'ts. Instead, it's about realising that we are loved before we have done anything to deserve it. We are forgiven however much of a mess we feel our lives are in. We are free to live the lives that God always intended us to live. It's about prioritising a God who never demands or stands in judgment, but instead calls us to follow him that our lives might be transformed to be the best that they can be. In a moment, we're going to hear from Lydia, Emma and Sean, but first we're going to sing another song of worship. So let's stand together and sing Blessed Be Your Name. I'd like to invite Lydia, Emma and Sean to just maybe come and over this side. And Lydia's going to come and tell us a little bit about how she came to be at this point right now.
Hi, I'm going to start by reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength, he guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I was fortunate to be born into a Christian family, and I've been going to this church since I was born. God has always been present in my life, and I grew up considering myself a Christian. I always knew that one day I would commit myself to God, but for a long time I felt like I was too young and it wasn't a decision that needed to be made just yet. I was putting it off. But then a combination of going to Spring Harvest and getting involved in the Christian Union at my sick form changed my perspective on things. I was inspired in a way that I hadn't been before, and I witnessed many other people my age living their lives for God. I think this is what gave me the encouragement I needed to commit myself to God. I'm excited about the future that God has planned for me, and I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you to everyone here for supporting me.
Thank you, Lydia. It's been really good to meet with Lydia and Emma and Sean, and we meet for about 4 weeks beforehand, and to go on this journey with them to this point of standing here and to hear about their life. So do chat to them afterwards as well to find out a little bit more. Standing up here is a bit nerve-wracking to say everything you want to say. So do chat to them and find out more about why they're here. I'd like to invite Emma to come up now.
Okay. When I look back at my life, it kind of works out to be like four seasons. I think of my early childhood being like the summer. It was a really, really happy time. Sorry, we just started. I've got really, really fond memories of my early childhood. Family caravanning holidays, fancy dress competitions at caravan parks, playing on the beach with my sister, running and playing in the garden, learning to roller skate, all these kind of things. And it just literally feels like the sun was always shining during those early years. Me and my sister went to a small church school, and we were part of the Anglican church that it was attached to. Now, being in this environment, we were taught and we were encouraged by some really strong women of faith. I'll name names for the people who know them, Mrs. Shuttleworth, Mrs. Williams, Anne Thomas, Peggy Bradfield. These are the kind of people that made a difference in my early life. And I think that environment is part of the reason why I've got such positive feelings about growing up. We had hymns and assembly, we had grace at lunchtime, we had prayers at the end of the day, we went to Sunday school every week, and Jesus walked with us through every part of our life. It was a really, really solid foundation, and it included infant baptism when I was 5 years old. I don't remember during those years really being fearful or anxious. They weren't a part of life. Of course, you worry about little things like your spellings and your times tables, but none of the big stuff. And even when big stuff happened, like we lost both my grandparents on my dad's side, I remember seeing a road traffic accident when we were walking the dog once. We had a friend who died who was only 12, and we were kind of 11, and my sister was like 2 years younger than me. And those things, although they were terrible experiences, they weren't kind of overwhelming, because even through our mourning and our sadness, the reality of God's love counterbalanced that more than the sadness of the tragedies. So it was a very positive time. But, like, it's such a cliche, I didn't know how good I had it until it was gone. Because during my teenage years, just like in the autumn season, when the leaves dropped from the trees, I just dropped God. I left my primary school, the church primary school, stopped going to church. I moved into the typical horrible season of being a selfish teenager, being rebellious, an untrustworthy friend, making really bad decisions that I'd regret later, being not very communicative or particularly nice daughter. And there's all sorts of negative repercussions for me, for my relationships, for my self-esteem. Don't know, not good. It wasn't all bad, because life's not kind of black and white, is it? Or as much as I fought with my parents and, you know, gave them trouble, I have really, really treasured memories. I must have run miles and for hours with my dad through the roads of our village. And later on, we had really lovely times sailing together. And my mum led our guide group, and I've got such happy memories of guiding. And there was one really big camp one summer in guides. I can't even imagine how many hundreds of girls must have been there. But these are the things that were they keep you going through those years. And there was other stuff as well. I had the Sunday school teacher I'd had when I was very little ran a kind of teenage home group. I went there for a bit. I went to a Methodist church youth group for a bit. And I had got confirmed just before we stopped going to church as well. So there were good things in there. But it's a bit like the parable. The roots I had from my early childhood just didn't seem strong enough to combat the worldly influences of my teenage years. But there's a next season when it started to get better. I went to university and stuff started to change. Very sadly, in my first year at university, my nanny died. My sister was living in America. I was away from home for the first time. It was really difficult for all of us on so many different levels. But whereas for Vicky, I think it was a lot of why, God, why did it happen? That's my sister, by the way. For me, it was a time when I kind of started to turn back to God and look for answers from him. And I found myself drawn to him. And it was really strange because I'm living in student houses, and on a Sunday morning, I'm surrounded by people who are fast asleep, hungover, and I'm creeping out past them, trying to find myself at church. And it was a bizarre. I never expected to be doing that, but it happened. And when I got there, I'd come from a quiet little village, very traditional Anglican services, robed choirs, all this kind of stuff. I'd been away for years, and now I was walking into these great big city churches full of students in the middle of the Toronto blessing kind of era, and it couldn't have been more different to what I'd seen or experienced in my childhood. And these people in these churches, they were student churches. They really knew how to welcome people. And I'd find myself having lunch with total strangers and being encouraged to come back next week. God had his hand on it, and I did go back next week. And slowly, I was kind of on the doorstep of coming back to God's house. After that, there was 2 years later, 2 years through my degree, I took my placement year. So I moved from Sheffield down to Kent, and but God had his hand on it. I ended up sharing a house with a girl who was a new Christian, so very excited about her faith, and making a friend with another statistician who was a Christian as well. And we had so many conversations, and I started to realise that I'd never stopped and said, I want Jesus to be my saviour. I want to walk with him for the rest of my life. I need to change some of the things in my life that are not compatible with Christian lifestyle. And so after knowing these people for like a month and really coming to understand what Christian life was all about, the penny dropped. And one day we were just there in the lounge. The three of us just stopped. We prayed together. I made a prayer of commitment, and life was never the same again. But both Bethan and Noel were both quite young Christians, and I was kind of new to the faith as well. Made lots of rookie mistakes. I think I was overexcited when I told some people, and some people thought I'd joined some kind of cult or something really weird. But that was my miscommunication about what happened, nothing to do with God. And at that same period, my life was changing a lot then, because I met the person who was going to be my future husband and started to go out with him as well. So it was a real time of change. And 2 years on, I was back at university. I was going to student unions, Christian unions at the university, going to student churches, starting to tell my old university friends a little bit about my faith, not doing a very good job at all. Eventually, I graduated and I moved to Histon, the village down the road. And I ended up in St. Andrew's Church, which is another Anglican church, but really big, and it's full of families. And I walk in there as a single young person, totally lost in the crowds. But it felt like a good place to be. They had bells, and I'd grown up with bells in an Anglican church, so it just felt like a good place to be. I didn't really get into it. And they asked me if I wanted to go on their church away weekend, and I thought, I don't want to do this. Loads of families on my own as a single person. It doesn't really suit me. But then they asked me if I'd do help with the youth work. So I kind of thought, oh, okay, I've got a job. I'll go in a job. And that was in 1997. I've been teaching Sunday school and youth work ever since. And it's been a real blessing to me. And I'm really happy that God kind of sorted that out from the beginning. That's been really a nice time. But at St. Andrew's, it's a big church. Lots of mature, wise Christians. Got involved in a home group with some people who really helped me grow. The Spirit-led services really helped me to develop. And it was now, instead of being on the doorstep of God's house, I was really kind of felt like I was there and I was in the middle of everything. And I had the confidence to do outreach stuff. There were some really good times there and really grew a lot. And it just reminds me, this was more like the winter when you're sitting by a fire in a really cozy house and the little sparks of the fire that have started are now roaring into something really exciting and really warming and really changing. And that was that time for me. And now, the most recent years of my life feel like the spring because new things have happened. My children have been born. I've had this exciting and hard work, a journey of motherhood. I've seen family come to faith, come back to church in amazing ways, and continue to pray for that to continue to happen. And I've seen so many little lives, just been such a blessing to be part of things like there's a group at school called Tic Tac, there's a little toddler group called Little Saints that I'm part of, and just to be able to be there and support some of those little lives as they're starting out on their journeys, not overtly Christian stuff, but just being there for them and witnessing, it's been really nice. And I've reaped the benefits as well, because some of the children I taught when I first did Sunday school are now leading youth groups in their own churches. Some of them leading worship at Accelerate. When I saw them last, when Matthew went to Accelerate, it was really exciting. One of them works on the Mercy Ships, and it's really nice to see the next generation kind of moving on. It's exciting. This season is a bit of a testing season as well. I had a real wilderness year with the boys when we were neither at All Saints here in Cottenham nor properly rooted at the Baptist Church, and it was a really difficult year, really negative consequences, but it made me realise that I have to be really intentional about the spiritual welfare of my children and myself and keep us safely in the community of Christians and believers to keep us on the right track. And I thank God that I learned that lesson, fairly quickly within that year. And our family faces some challenges now, illness and people getting older, and we're facing, people's lives coming to an end. And I really thank God that that's now when we're at a place of spiritual maturity, because handling those sort of things must be unbearable if you haven't got God to hold on to in those times. And it's been a few years now since we moved to here. And this was my time. I just stopped and reflected on my walk, which brings us to today, a time just for me to stop and think about all these things that I've written in my testimony and where my life's gone and what God's done for me, but also the chance to make this public statement about wanting to follow God, because the private prayer that I made 20 years ago was just three of us in the room, and sometimes I just think I just want to tell more people that this is important, and that's what today's about. Just been about being obedient to Jesus. He set the example of baptism, being refreshed by the Holy Spirit, because life's hard and I want more of that, and then being ready for whatever the next season is. And that's where we are. So thank you for listening.
Emma mentioned that she was baptised as an infant and confirmed, and today we recognise that those were important things in her life and that God fulfilled his promises in those and brought her to this point. So this baptism here isn't saying that those didn't mean anything. It is another part of Emma's journey, but we recognise the earlier parts and how God worked through those to bring her here today. Now I'd like to invite Sian to come up.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming and to thank the musicians. And at the end of this testimony, Lucy Maynard is going to do a performance for us of Amazing Grace. So I've picked that instead of having a reading. I grew up in Cambridge. I used to go to Sunday school on Newmarket Road, along with some neighbours. My own family didn't go to church, but I was curious and went along with other people. I always really enjoyed assemblies at school and hymns and prayer. And the part of the morning. I came to be a club leader in Water Beach. I became a club leader in Water Beach. I attended church in Water Beach regularly. I got married in Water Beach, my first marriage. And my eldest son, Joseph, was born the following year. And 6 months into that marriage, my husband decided that marriage and a child wasn't for him after all. When we split up, I went through a real dark period and disengaged with the church and became consumed with other things in my life. Bringing up Joseph, being made homeless, I lived in a hostel in Cambridge for about 6 months before I was housed in Cottenham. I muddled through life, made friends with some neighbours and local mums. I met Mark in 1996 on a night out in the village, and life changed considerably. But Mark rose to the challenge of becoming stepdad to Joseph, and that was a challenge in itself as well. As Joseph got older, I went back to work and I took a job as a care assistant in Cottenham Court in the village. I moved between being a care assistant and working in the kitchen, picking up my MVQ in food prep along the way. Mark and I had Jude, and this changed our world for the better once more. Joseph walked me down the aisle. When me and Mark got married, 2004. A few years later, Tegan joined us. And boy, did I know I'd got a girl. The house became pink. Joseph was off having fun with his friends in Cambridge and moved out of the family home soon after. At various stages, I tried to get the family to go to church, but nobody wanted to go. The importance of reassuring myself that I would go to heaven caused a niggle inside. Having met Andrea through school, I attended Ladies' Night at the Baptist Church here, and she mentioned Messy Play, which was happening on one of the Sundays, and she offered to take Tegan, as I had done a night and was going to bed. Tegan enjoyed the day and wanted to come back, and I couldn't wait to bring her. The following Sunday, I came to church. I was a bit apprehensive about coming on my own for the first time, but being welcomed at the door by David Newton and other familiar faces, and seeing people in the church I recognised, I soon relaxed and sung my heart out. just like I did in school assemblies. The niggle about going to heaven soon became a thing of the past as I started my journey that has brought me here today. Through the last few months, I've been able to address parts of my life which have kept hold of guilt, where I've not forgiven others and have sought explanation as to why such things happen in our lives. For those, to those who I care about, and have come to realisation that I can now release those thoughts and feelings and offer them to God. I want to be baptised today to start afresh and to mark a new beginning in my life, putting to rest the struggles I've had, and I'm looking forward to a life with Jesus and playing such a big part in my life. Thank you.
While we get ready to get into the water, if people want to start to gather round the baptistry where they can see a bit more, or settle in your seats to look at the screen behind you. I'm going to shout from here, and Lydia, Emma and Sean will shout in response. We're not going to have microphones near the water.
It's a good park, isn't it?
Lydia, I'd like to invite you.
Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger, or death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for Lydia. We thank you for her life. We thank you for the way you have created her, walked with her, worked in her life. We thank you for this time now as we stand before you, ready for her to be baptised. We ask, Lord God, that you would fill us her afresh with your Holy Spirit as she goes into the water and comes back up. We pray that as she says the end of her old life and the beginning of the new, that she would know you new and fresh within her by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. So Lydia, do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
Yes.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil and intend to follow Christ?
Yes.
Will you live within the fellowship of the church and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world?
I will.
Lydia, we baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Who is it that has a Bible reading?
We are going to read some of Mum's favourite verses from the Psalms.
You are the shield around me, O Lord. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay with my request before you and wait in expectations. This is Mum's favourite out of these three excellent verses.
Okay. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord is my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumbles, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Be still and know that I am God.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is Mum's favourite out of the verses that we've all read. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is an offensive way me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's the end of Mum's favourite verses from Psalms.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Father God, thank you so much for Sean. Thank you for the journey she's come on. Thank you that you've been with her in those really dark times, and that you've brought her to good times today. We thank you for her family, we thank you for the support they've been around her, and we thank you that at this point now, she knows you to be her Lord and Saviour. We pray, Lord, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit. Give her strength, give her peace, give her all that she needs to live her life for you. We thank you for the witness and the example that she has been, and we ask that you sustain her, that she can be that witness for the rest of her life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Sean, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ? Will you live within the fellowship of the church, and will you serve Jesus Christ in the world? So, Sean, we baptise you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Thank you for coming and joining us this morning and taking part in this wonderful event. There will now be tea and coffee served through here in a few moments.